Howdy, folks. This is Larry Weissoon, and welcome to our show. This segment is brought to you by the Dallas Safari Club, Smokin' Tech's Electric Smokers, and Ultramatic Feeders.
Well, folks, you know what? I have a friend, Mr. Brian Lynn, that used to be a boss of mine years ago, I don't know, two decades ago. There you are, Brian. Hunting and Fishing News. Back in those days, you were an editor for Outdoor Life magazine. ESPN. Folks, Brian is well-rounded in the outdoors. But right now, for the past several years, he's been vice president in charge of marketing and communications for Sportsman's Alliance. Now, Sportsman's Alliance, their goal is to protect our rights as hunters and trappers, fishermen, protect our rights from the animal rights movement, people that would like to take these rights away. But, Brian, my hat is off to you, buddy, for what your organization's doing and all the efforts that you've done. If we don't do something, these rights that we think, some people as old as I am think it's just natural things we're supposed to do, and I do believe all these endeavors are God-given thing, rights to do, hunt, fish, trap, but there are people that would take them away from us, aren't they?
Oh, there's a bunch of people out there that want to take them away. Most of it's out of state, you know. Texas is a great state. I mean, it is one of the best states for hunting, fishing, and trapping. I mean, it's the outdoorsman's dreams, and I loved living there and hunting down there. But even Texas is on their list, and most of it comes from the Humane Society of the United States. They're based in Washington, D.C. There's other organizations, but they're the big dogs on the block. They have about $150 million budget. Most of it they raise by pretending to help puppies and kittens in shelters, and less than 1% of their budget goes to that. Most of their budget goes to stopping agriculture, ranching, and hunting and trapping. And Texas isn't immune to it. They've tried to pass laws in Texas and do things there. Sportsman's Alliance, we've been around for 40 years. And that's our only reason for existing, is to fight these guys. They tried to stop trapping in Ohio in 1978, and we fought back and then formed a group, and that's what's known as the Sportsman's Alliance today. And we work in all 50 state legislatures. We work in state and federal court, and we work at the ballot box. So when they, after we beat them in the legislatures with the politicians, they usually try to sue, and we usually beat them there. And once they can't do that, they try to take it directly to the ballot box and sway people in the cities, which have more voters and are usually disconnected from the outdoors, don't understand wildlife management and everything that goes into hunting and the role that hunting plays in conservation. And they can put up an emotional video and words and pictures and sway the vote and slowly start taking our rights away as hunters.
And that's exactly their MO. That's the way they work, isn't it? You know?
Yes, sir. That's what they do. Facts don't matter to them. We have all the facts in the world, all the science, all the wildlife management. We have a 125-year track record of managing wildlife, bringing it back from the brink of extinction. And that doesn't matter. They can put up a picture of dogs chasing a lion up a tree or, you know, hogs or whatever, and put some emotional messaging around it that is either half true or just an outright lie, and it doesn't matter. Emotions win a lot of times, win these battles, not facts, because people don't understand, and so they just feel instead of think. And that's really a dangerous place for us to be as outdoorsmen, because we support the entire conservation ethic in this country, and as we're reduced, so does that funding, and so do the animals, and they're the ones that pay the ultimate price eventually.
You bet. You know, Brian, it's kind of ironic. This past week, the same old newspaper column that I wrote back when I was writing for you, I still do. That column.
I've been doing,
yes, I've been doing that column 28 and a half years, every week. And I'm not bragging on that. I've persevered. I enjoy it still. But what I'm getting at, that my topic last week, usually it's trying to inform somebody or entertain them, the readers, let them know what's going on, where the fish are biting or whatever. But it was the topic is as sportsmen and sports ladies, sportswomen, you know, we need to be really cautious. Social media. That's what my column was about. You know, I see some things on there that if I were not a hunter, say I was raised in downtown Dallas or New York or wherever city, you know, I may be swayed. I mean, we as a group need to be really diligent when we put something on social media, I think, to be very cautious and make sure that we always present the outdoors in a positive way, Brian, because as I pointed out, now everybody's an editor in a sense, a videographer in a sense, YouTube, the social media, post a Facebook Live or whatever. So, but everybody really is not, you know. I mean, I think those of us that's been, and I don't mean to be glorifying the, you know, outdoor writers or being outdoor journalists, but those of us that's been doing it a long time know that if we're not careful, we can, you know, we can show people something that's negative about the outdoors. So I think social media, people have to be careful with that.
It's exactly right. I mean, there's the old saying, a picture's worth a thousand words, and that's what social media is. It's a snapshot, and it's a headline, and that's about what people see and understand, and then they move on to the next thing. And as hunters, we can be our own worst enemies. I mean, people don't understand what's going on, and they see a dead animal and see somebody smiling. It changes them where they're not sure what's happening, and they don't understand it, and so they tend to be against it. A lot of times people accept it and understand it, but we have to be very careful that we aren't portraying this in a negative light. Be respectful of the animal, you know, smile. It's okay to smile, but there's pictures out there and videos out there of people doing stupid things, and that's the stuff that takes off like wildfire. And then you see a big uproar and a reaction from the people that don't understand what's going on. And then the next thing you know is you have knee-jerk legislation introduced by some politician trying to make those city people happy. Now you have a threat, and once that gets a toehold, it can move on and can expand, and it can move to different parts of the state or different states altogether. And that's where we start losing. We start losing things by methods, you know, whether it's somebody using a spear and killing a bear in Alberta, and then they'll ban it here. It's a small leap from throwing a spear to shooting a bow and arrow. You know, and so you have to be very careful. They love to segment us out. They love to say, well, we just want to stop this, whatever this might be. It could be using dogs. It could be using traps. It could be using bait. And they say, we don't want to use this. That's unfair. That's inhumane. That's whatever emotional word they want to tag onto it. And people go, yeah, that's right. Well, let's just get rid of that. I support hunting, but not this. And they separate us, death by a thousand cuts, and they take one thing and then a next, then the next, and then they just keep taking a little bit more. And as hunters, we have to win every single fight and to keep doing what we're doing. They just have to win one time, and they can take it away.
And then it becomes law, right? You know, one thing that is really a good case in point, the way I see it, Brian, is wild hogs. What a dilemma. Now, yes, in Texas, the word overrun is often used in Texas, and I've hunted hogs, guided hog hunts. I mean, I hunt hogs 1 mile from my home here. Hogs are a problem in areas, some places, but some people from out of state are led to believe, let's come to Texas and give the current terminology is dirt nap. I know you've heard that. I'd like to get another term for that. Come on, dirt. You know, we're going to come to Texas and give those hogs a dirt nap. Well, you know, Texas does have too many hogs in areas. They have to be controlled. But, you know, and people like me, and you too, I believe, you know, they have to be controlled. They're not a game animal officially, but we love to hunt them and we love to eat them, you know. So there is one of the dilemmas I see. People portray hogs almost, some people do, almost like vermin, you know. And they're, you know, I mean, people pay money and good money to come to Texas and Oklahoma to hunt hogs. So I don't know, but you, if there's one animal that really gets beat on a lot, it's the poor old wild hog. And I, you know, I'm certainly all about shooting hogs. I'll probably kill on the average of 20 or 25 a year, eat them and make ham and bacon out of them, you know. But you have, we have to be careful when we're talking about even a wild hog, you know, and portray one good, for instance, something I've, that I think is deplorable. I've seen videos of hogs tannerite being put out in large quantities. Bait the hogs in there, you know, and stuff like that. We just don't need it, Brian, in my opinion, you know?
Yeah, yeah, it's tough, you know. It's like you said, they're not a game animal. They do $1 billion a year in crop damage. So it's finding that balance and coexisting, keeping them at a manageable level, whatever that means. And since they are, you know, do cause so much crop damage, and once they get out of a juvenile stage, they really don't have any natural predators.
That's
They're
true. Yep.
Incredibly intelligent, and they can reproduce like crazy. So those, you know, pen traps are one of the best ways to control them. I mean, there's even arguments out there. I hunted with a guy in Georgia, a night vision hunt for hogs. And he was saying, you know, when states call him about hogs showing up in their state, he's of the mind, and there's an argument out there that we shouldn't hunt them, that we should eradicate them, because if you allow open season hunting, that actually gives an incentive to hunters to transport them.
Yep, yep.
And release them.
I've heard,
you know,
that.
So that's an issue.
Yep,
you know, that's not a good thing. So, you know, it's a balance. But, you know, the animal rights movement has their way. We don't get to hunt them at all.
No,
which
exactly.
Is funny, since the hogs eat all their food and make wallows in their crops.
Right.
So I don't know what they're going to do if we don't.
Exactly. Well, Brian, we're just about out of time. I want you to hook everybody up with the Sportsman's Alliance. You know, the website, I know for a fact that it does a lot of good. It's a watchdog for us. So I'd like people that may not know about the Sportsman's Alliance, how do they learn more?
Yes, sir. Well, you can find us online at sportsmensalliance.org. That's M-E-N-S, sportsmensalliance.org. We're on Facebook, have a big following there. We put up a lot of fun memes. We put up educational articles, put out alerts on different states that are being attacked, the court cases that we're involved in, whether that's grizzly bears up around the Yellowstone area, or wolves in the Great Lakes, or even in Texas when there's dog laws or other laws that come up about tethering and keeping your dog. That's where we put that stuff out. And join us, sign up for our alerts, and you'll know what's going on.
Well, Brian, I really do appreciate you being with us. And in the near future, maybe I can get you back and you can update us a little bit more. How about that?
You betcha, anytime.
Folks, for the past 12 years, I have used my Smoking Texas electric smoker to cook literally hundreds of pounds of game meat and domestic meat. I've made sausage, jerky, cooked wild hog hams with them. They are absolutely awesome, and they're built to last. You can go to Smoking Tex, SmokinTex.com, and check out their line of smokers. There's different models, bigger ones and littler ones, depending on your needs. Or you can call Diz or Scott at 888-922-1511. Folks, I'd like to hook you up with Butcher Packer Supply. This company has everything you need for making jerky, sausage, curing meats at home, anything to do with home butchering. You can go online to butcher-packer, that's butcher-packer.com, and order everything that you need right there online. Folks, if you're looking to buy property at Lake Fork and the surrounding area, I want to hook you up with my friend Paul Tibbetts and his staff at Signature Properties. Your home is special, shouldn't your agent be? The folks at Signature Properties are specialists around the Lake Fork area. For more information, visit easttexasluxury.com. That's www.easttexasluxury.com. Or call Paul and his staff at 903-383-3530. That's 903-383-3530.